topic, I just came home from Shul Shudas, so just needed the extra few minutes. How to achieve Simchas Achayim? It's truly a loaded question. As a matter of fact, a number of years ago, one of the themes that one of the Aguda conventions was how to survive in Golus. In my mind, they basically are connected one with the other. The idea of how to achieve Simchas Achayim, how one achieves survival in Golus. On the one hand, we have very good news, because Rav Gedalia Yeshor tells us in Parshas Vayechi, when Rashi says, Bikash Yaakov Legalis is Akeit, that Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the end when Mashiach is coming, says Rav Gedalia Yeshor, the Kavana was not to tell us when Mashiach is coming. What was to be gained then to know that Mashiach will come in thousands of years later? What was to be gained? Eze toyeles yagia lahashvotim. The yodom is keitz hayimin. The kavona bikish Yaakov legalis is akeitz, says the Gedalia Yeshor, means he wanted to reveal that one is able to find geula in golus. Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the hidden geula that exists in Golus itself, which means that when we are in Golus today, that is an external Golus. But even being in the matzav and in the presence of Golus, a yid is able to find, there is wiggle room, if you will, where one is able to find pockets of geula within Golus, within the pnimius of Golus, which means that deep within the inner core, that deep within the inner core of Golus, one is able to find tremendous light of Gula. And that was the objective of Yaakov Avinu. That because Yaakov legalis is akeit, is he wanted to show the possibility and the ability that a person is able to find Gula within Golus itself. Says of Gedalia Yeshor, who was the expert? Who is the expert to be able to find Geula in Golus? He says, none other than Yaakov Avinu himself. That Yaakov Avinu, when he was in Mitzrayim, which is Mokim Ervas Oretz, which is the greatest Mokim Tuma, and yet Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu experiences Olam Habo in Tumas Mitzrayim. So Yaakov Avinu is in Tumas Mitzrayim. He's surrounded with all the problems of Mitzrayim. He's not a Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu finds Geula in Mitzrayim. He finds Olam Haba in Mitzrayim. And that is the Nekuda that Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal. But we have to understand, Rabbi Yisrael, this raises a basic problem. And that is that if there is an individual Geula, because Geula clearly is when Mashiach will come. But while we are in Golus, there is something called Geula Prati. There is an individual Geula. But if there is an individual Geula, it also means that every Yid has his own private Golus as well. They go hand in hand. If there is a Geula Pratis, then there also is a Golus Prati. And it means, Rabbi Isai, that every Yid has his own personal Golus. Every Yid has his own personal challenges. Every Yid has his own personal nisyonos. And the more the fact is that we look around what's doing in the world, we see so many people who are basically unable to cope with their own goals. Day after day, as we look around, we find, we continue to see that there are more unhappy people. We're trying to figure out some kind of a way to deal with their own certain nisyonos and their own challenges. The fact of life is that everybody wants to be happy. There's no nafkim in it between Yidden or Goyim in this aspect. Just go and see, Rabbi, how many books are written how to be happy, how to be happy, and how to find happiness. Tens, hundreds, possibly thousands of books have been written throughout the years, all to try to solve and how to be happy. But that tells us, Rabbi Yisrael, that most of them didn't work, did they? Something like all the diet books that tells you the atzlocha of all those before. That's why you need another one. You need more and more. Whatever you tried till now didn't seem to work. So you say, Epshedusa tells them. Maybe here, maybe this will be the solution. Everyone tries to find happiness. Topic has been discussed so often and so around the globe, which shows what a different, what a difficult, difficult topic, commodity it is. The emes is, to such a great extent that the world recognizes the importance of what it means to be happy, the importance of simcha, that in fact this was incorporated into the Declaration of Independence. Everybody knows it, that basically America has established that there are three inalienable rights for the individual: there's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you notice, nibo v'lo yodu ma nibo, pursuit of happiness. It means you're going to keep pursuing it and pursuing it, and who knows if you ever achieve it and you ever reach it. The pursuit of, that's all they can promise you. The pursuit of happiness. This will be a test of a lifetime. Trying to pursue happiness. The pursuit of happiness. We know, Rabbi Yisai, that we as Jews, that we as Yidden, we know that Simcha, Rabbi Yisai, is not just a right. It's essential. It's not merely a right. By Yidden, Simcha is essential. It's not a schus, it's a hechrech. As a matter of fact, there's a tremendous, tremendous chinuch. The chinuch tells us, why is it that the Torah gave us a mitzvah of the somachto bechagecho? The Torah gave us a mitzvah that there is a chiyuv to be mesameach on a yontif. And the chinuch says amazing words. As one can see in the chinuch in Siman Tov Pei Aleph. And the chinuch says that in the same way that for survival of a human being, survival of life means a person has to eat and drink. The chinuch says essential for survival is man needs simcha. It's a hechrech, it's essential. And therefore says the chinuch as follows, that being that simcha is an essential component to life, similar to eating and drinking, what happens, Rabbi Yisai, if someone does not find kosher food? If someone cannot find kosher food, being that it's a staple of life, you can't live without it, you're going to have to find food which is non-kosher. Says the chinuch, if a yid is not able to find simcha bekashris, then you're going to look for other sources. You're going to try to find non-kosher sources for simcha. Comes the Torah and gives us therefore a mitzvah of the somachto b'chagecho to provide a yid with kosher simcha. Simcha siyontif. A simcha of kedusha. A simcha of aliyah. A simcha which is connected with Avodas Hashem. Why was it given to us? Because you can't exist without it. And if you won't find it the kosher way, if you won't have it the Torah way, the Torah knew that man will stray from place to place until he finds what he defines as simcha. And therefore, in order to avoid that, the Torah comes along and gave us this mitzvah, the somachta b'chagecho. So from the perspective of Yahadus, from the perspective of Torah Hashkofa, simcha is not merely a right, but simcha is a hechrech. Simcha is something which is essential. And therefore, the tremendous words of the Shem Shmuel, the son of the Avnei Nezer, he says, Dvorim Nefloim in Parshas Vayikra, The Shemesh Mu says, the Gemara Moed Katan, that Tezvav Amad Beis, where the Gemara tells us that in Oinein, Einoi Mishaleach Korbanoisov. An Oinein, of course, we should never know, is someone who loses a close relative for whom he must sit Shiva. So he's an Oinein until the Kvura. And there's a din that an Oinein cannot send Korbanos. And the Gemara says, you know why? Because it says Shlomim. Shlomim means Kishuhu Shalem Veloi Kishuhu Oinein. You're only capable of being makir of korbanos when you are shalem, and not where you are an anoinen. In other words, an anoinen, Rabbi says, is not a shalem. An anoinen is not complete. An anoinen is a chosar. Shlomim, you have to be a shalem. What is he missing? Says Hashem Shmuel b'Shem his father. The kavona, the intent of the Gemara, is not that he's missing. He's missing a relative, because that's true for tomorrow also. He's not an anoinen tomorrow anymore. Or the day after. So what does the Gemara mean when we say that he is a chosar, he's not a sholem? Said the Shem Shmuel, you know what it means? It means because the Iker Tzura to Odom is to be an Oved Hashem with a happy face, in an Oifen where someone can see Simcha on his face, and when a human being is not b'Simcha, he's chosar b'tzura to Odom. The definition of tzura to Odom, Rabbi Isai, is when you have a face of simcha. But someone who does not have simcha in his face is lacking b'ikir tzura to Odom. In other words, if someone with us would be asked to draw a face, to draw a tzura of a human being, if the face does not depict simcha, you have not drawn a human face. Kishu shalem. Shlomim. Shlomim means he has to be an Isha Shalem. When someone is an Einein, he is a Chosar. What's Chosar? The whole Tzura to Odom is missing. A Hotnish Rabbi Isai, a Mensch Lechitzire. Then have a Tzura to Odom. Because the definition of a Tzura to Odom is where there is Simcha on his face. And therefore, definition of a human is to depict Simcha. If not, Chazal are telling us one is subhuman. Does not live up to the definition of what it means to be a human being. So before we try to pursue it, therefore, how does the Yid achieve happiness? I believe the first thing that we have to know, what is not happiness. And therefore what's important is to dispel the myth. It's to dispel the myth that many, many people think, and this is the idea that they have conjured up in their minds, that happiness has something to do with having or not having. That's a basic flaw in the definition of happiness. Happiness is not determined by what you have or what you don't have. Happiness is not determined by how much one has or by how little one has. That is a flaw that has to be dispelled, and this is evident. You don't have to go very far. It is evident Masim B'chol Yoyim, which finds a high percentage of depressed and maybe disenchanted people, davke by those who enjoy success and high social standing. Davke there. By us, Yidin Rabbi Isai, this is not a chiddush. This is not a chiddush that simcha is not defined by what one has, because the Chochom Mikol Odom already told us. Shomelov says in Koheles, Oyev Kesef Layizba Kesef. Oyev Kesef Layizba Kesef. Someone who loves money will never be satisfied by money. And comes the Maral. Says the Maral in the Sivu Oishir, Perik Beis. Because Kesef from the Loshin Koisei, to yearn, ki nichsoit nichsafti. Someone who has a drive, someone who has a yearn. Someone who has an ambition, someone who sets a goal for himself. Money. This is his yearn, this is his drive, this is his desire. If someone has a desire, he has this yearning, he will never be satisfied with this yearning. In other words, Rabbi Isai means there are two types of people. There are two categories of people. There are people where by them the idea of money is not a tachlis in its own right. Money is a means to an end. About it, you need money. A person understands, though, that the chashivas of kesef is for a purpose. He needs money to support his family. He needs money to be mechanech his children. He needs money to be machzik Torah. He needs money to be mekayim mitzvahs, whether it's mitzvah tzedakah, to buy a lulav, to buy an esrik, to buy tefillin, hachnas eskala, yisayimim, so on and so forth. It's endless. The tachlis of money, he understands, it's a means in order to achieve something, to reach a purpose. Such a person who understands that the tachlis of money is in order to be able to buy his needs, in order to acquire his needs, so when he has his needs, he's happy. But then, Rabbi Sari, there's a sug of people that are oyev kesef, that they love money for money's sake, not because they need something, and as a result, money's here for a purpose. But it's money l'shem money. Push it to amass a fortune. That's called oyev kesef. It's not that he wants the tachlis of the kesef, but by him, it's kesef itself. If someone has this attitude, that he has an oyev kesef, it's the money itself that he's into, is what he is by kesef, then of course he never will be satisfied. As the Moshe Shapiro Shlita was pointed out, and he said, the Moshe Shapiro points out, you know, Chazal say, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, a person is supposed to love Hashem, V'chol levavcha, V'chol nafshecha, V'chol moedecha. And Chazal say, what does V'chol moedecha mean? V'chol memoincha. A person is supposed to love Hashem even if it means giving up all of his money. B'chol mo'oidecha means b'chol mo'moincha. And the kasha was asked, why do Chazal say mo'oidecha means b'chol mo'moincha? Why the emphasis on money? Why not b'chol mo'chasecha? By whatever you own. All of your assets. Wouldn't that seem to make the same point? Why dafke the emphasis on money? B'chol mo'oidecha meaning mo'moincha. Why not b'chol nechosecha? V'havta Hashem elokecha b'chol nechosecha, with all of your nechosim. And the answer is because the pasuk says ma'oid, something which is much, which gives them extra. And the pshat is the difference between some assets, Rabbi Isai, to momoin, that money is the only thing which gives them the ma'oid. It's a tool which gives them the ability to break all boundaries. Money is what gives him power. That is the mi'oid. The simcha of money, Rabbi Isai, is not that it provides for what he needs, but the power to control above and beyond and to break all the barriers. So mi'oid, which aspect gives him the mi'oid? Which aspect is that which gives him everything? Money is the key to everything. That's the mi'oid. That's the definition of mi'oid. And if people look at the attitude of oyev kesef, they want kesef for the sake of kesef. Doesn't make a difference whether he has what he needs, but he needs the power of money. He needs kesef. That's what he needs. That's what he drives for. That's what he strives for. That's the kesef. That's the nichsav on nichsavti. It's all he is by kesef. Nothing will help him. I'm going to be Yosef Engel, the great goyin of all time, with Bekiyas. Is somewhat, when you talk about a ruggish of a Bekiyas, very few are able to match that type of a level of a Bekiyas. Going to be at an angle, Baki Bishad Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifros, Sifri, Zohar HaKadosh, Benigla, Benister, the greatest going of all time, Rabbi Yosef Engel, said when the Medrash says that Toiv Ma'oid, Chazal say Toiv Ma'oid Zehamoves, you hear that? Toiv is Toiv, Toiv is Chaim. Toiv Ma'oid Zehamoves, say Chazal. What does he mean, Toiv Ma'oid Zehamoves? It's Moves, Toiv Ma'oid. Raputin Zechoin Lebrocha was a young boy. And he was in Vienna. Rabbi Yosef Engel, toward the later years of his life, lived in Vienna. And that's where his kever is. Nifter Shnas Tov Reish Pei. In 1920, Rav Hutton's father wanted Rav Hutton with a Shabbos afternoon to have the schus to see Hagoyin Rabbi Yosef Engel. So he makes his way holding little Rav Yitzchak Hunter by the hand, and he takes him to the house of Rabbi Yosef Engel to have the opportunity, at least maybe, to see him, a glimpse, a brocha, Rabbi Yosef Engel. They come to the house, and the Rebbetzin comes to the door. And the Rebbetzin says, I'm sorry, he says, the Rav had drimmeled yet. He's taking a little nap, Shabbos afternoon nap. Rav Hutner says, my father was not deterred. My father said, Afo Piken, I want my son to see how a Godel sleeps. That's also something to see. He says, okay. So they take him into the room, into the study. Rabbi Zengel is over a Gemara, his hand supporting his head, and in the middle of his sleep, you notice like this, you have his left hand free, and it's going like this. He was throwing shots through his mind, that's what he said, that's what he dreams of. That's a Goyen Rabbi Yosef Engel. Those are the things he thinks about even in his sleep. Rabbi Yosef Engel says that there are people who are happy with the definition of Toiv. Things should be good, Baruch Hashem. Take things as it comes. They're satisfied and they are happy. Especially because Baruch Hashem provides what they need, they are happy. But there are certain people, Toiv is not good enough for them. Toiv Ma'oid, it has to be very good. A person who has a goal in his life that if it's not very good, he's not happy, the Hamovis, it drives him into the grave. That's the attitude. Toiv Ma'oid, if you're looking for the Ma'oid and the Toiv, the Hamovis. Be happy with Toiv. It doesn't have to be Ma'oid. Everybody raises the bar. This is not Ma'oid enough. Now Ma'oid means higher. Now the Ma'oid again goes higher. And higher and higher. A person who lives with an attitude, Toiv Ma'oid, very good, it always has to be Ma'oid, Ma'oid. Some Toiv is not good enough, the end result is Zeham of it. That would lead to. It's the Hepach of Chaim. And so, we talk about Simchas HaChaim. Rambam tells us, you know, Rabbi Yisai, there's two expressions that we find regarding Simcha. Simcha and Gilo. Gilo also means to rejoice. The Lamelech says in Tehillim Lamed Aleph, O Gilo, the Esmecho the Chazecho. I will exalt and I will be glad for your kindness. Come the Malbim said, what's the difference between Simcha and Gilo? It's immediate. Simcha is something which is constant. Gilo, says the Malbim, is something pisoimis, something which happens all of a sudden. Like a metzia, you find something. That's something that happened. That's called Gilo. Something occurred and all of a sudden this happened. That we express as Gilo. So it's also Dubna Magid in Shirashirim, Nogilo Venismacho, he says, that it means Nogilo Venismacho. Nogilo is something because of a sudden thing that happens. However, Simcha is something that's smidis. Gilo would mean, let's say somebody told you so and so had a baby. Oh, Givaldiga news. That's Gilo. You heard that somebody, Baruch Hashem, he landed a new job. Say, Gilo, I'm very happy. That's a sudden situation. These are all because why? Because Gilo from the lotion of Gal, a wave. Imagine someone is swimming and all of a sudden there's a gal, there's a wave coming. So too, all of a sudden, when you have such good news, it gives you simcha because of that sibah, a wave of good news. That's called gilo. A burst of happiness. Somebody tells you, good tidings, things that are happy. Gevaldige Sach. Somebody wins a trip to Eretz Yisrael. Gilo, Baruch Hashem. What's simcha? Simcha is something totally different. It's the Rambam as follows in Perek Aleph Hilchos Beis. Rambam says how to behave and how we have to act. Don't be a joker all the time. People think that simcha means hoilalis, laughing at jokes. That's not simcha. All those who make the jokes are some of the saddest people in the world, Rabbi, especially if you don't laugh at those jokes. That's not simcha. That's not simcha. Vayehei mehulo v'soichik, says the Rambam. Don't be sad and depressed either all the time. Elatomeach kol yomov benachas. Rambam says, be happy all your days, benachas, with a calmness, with an inner feeling of happiness, says the Rambam. The saver ponim yofis, with a nice and a friendly countenance. That's what simcha is all about, Rabbi, and that's what we have to strive for now. So the question is, how do you get that serenity? How do you get that inner calmness? The Rambam says, Rapam used to say many, many times that he remembers once reading in a book, he says that people are always looking for the city of happiness, but it's in the state of mind. That's what it is. That is the idea. Simcha is something, it's up here. Simcha is the attitude of a person. It's not totally what you have. It's not totally what you don't have. It is something of an attitude of an appreciation. And therefore you find, as we say, the choshevs, the people, the highest standing of people, who have the most that you can ever imagine, and they're not besimcha. And it's not Rabbi Yisai b'derech mikra, that being besimcha, that the word besimcha, rearrange the letters, is b'machshova. Because that is the essence of being besimcha. Simcha means having your mind, your head screwed on in the right place. That is the source of simcha. And the idea is, The emes is that we find this all the time. There are people whose attitude in life is always dark. Sun could be shining, a beautiful day, but they're worried. You know why they're worried? Because tomorrow it's going to rain. Today it's nice, beautiful, gewaldig. And he's afraid because he's worried tomorrow's going to rain. Or maybe when the sun is shining now, he said, but wait a minute, 8 hours from now it's going to be shkia. He's sad already now. He's always worried about the negative. It's a matzias. It's the attitude of people. And if the boy shows them golf and the Baruch Hashem, he has a parnosa, now he can't be happy. He wants twice as much. He wants double. And if Baruch Hashem, they say he has a parnosa and he has a good job, he wants to be the boss. He has a good partner? No, he says, I'd like to be the senior partner. There's always reasons why he's not happy, no matter what the situation. He doesn't appreciate. This is the idea of what's called entitlement. He's entitled for more. Skid me meh. I deserve more. I deserve better. Comes Rabbi Avraham Islanim, the Islanim Rebbe, and writes in Yesoidu Avoidah. Writes the Islanim Rebbe in Yesoidu Avoidah. He brought down a Sefer Torah Avos. Says, how does a person, first of all, how does the person arrive at Simcha? The first idea, he says, is shiftless. Shiftless means, why do you think that you are so great that you feel you deserve so much? Why do you think so? The first step in Simcha is the idea of shiftless. And he brings one of the great rabbis, one of the great tzaddikim, Rav Avraham Kalisker, one of the early Talmidei of Baal Shem Tov. Rav Avraham Kalisker was oiled at Yisrael at the same time that Talmidei Hagro. Talmidei Hagro were oiled at Yisrael, so the Talmidei Baal Shem, as you know, also 200 years ago were oiled at Yisrael. And as a matter of fact, together Rav Avraham Kalisker, Rav Mendel Levitevsker, and all the great tzaddikim whose kever to this day is visited by people in the Beis HaChaim, Ayoshen, and Tiberia. And the Slonim Rebbe brings, from Rebbe brings B'Shem Rav Avraham Kalisker, they said the Pasuk in Kehelas. So Amelo says, Ulesimcha mah zu oise. You know what the word ma means? What does v'nachnu ma mean? We are nothing. They said, Ulesimcha, you want to be zayche to simcha, ma zu oise. You have to develop the attitude of ma. I am nothing. What am I? Why do you, if you expect a lot, if you expect everything, you're going to be very, very disappointed. But if you realize and you have a midah of shiftless, you understand who told you you deserve all this? Why? What cheshma? What basis? Where did you make that calculation? Well, the simcha, the bizayre te simcha, mo zu oise. It's the mile and the midah of mo, said Avraham Kalisker. The midah of mo, the midah of shiftless. The onod has no tvius. Person who is gaiva, always, his heart is full of tainus, his heart is full of tvius, whether on others or the tainus to himself. He doesn't have what he believes he deserves. Person has to be able, Rabbi Sai, to look into his matzis and to appreciate what he has. You have eyes to see. A person has uznayim, he has ears, is able to hear. You have hands, you have feet. Imagine Rabbi Sai Loelenu, a person that is blind, and all of a sudden you come to him and say, you know, there's a great breakthrough. Tremendous breakthrough that you're able. Someone is able to give you back your eyesight, but you know what? It may cost you $10 million. Doesn't make a difference. He'll do everything possible to buy his eyesight. Well, Hashem, Rabbi Yisai, we are able to see. You have those $10 million. Person not able to walk. People in the wheelchairs, paralyzed. They give kol ha'in the yalma to be able to get off that chair. You have the koyach to walk. To move your hands. You can hear, you can see. But that's appreciated what he had, what Gishbarko gave him. No, Rabbi Yisai, Vesol Salamter, the greatest Balamusar of all time in 1880. Vesol Salamter at the age of 70, he leaves Germany and he goes to Paris. Kirib Rechaikim, the age of 70. Vesol Salamter leaves Germany and he goes to Paris. And he places in position a Talmud of his. His name is Rabbi Shua Heschel Levin, to be the Rav over there. Turns out, that Rasul Salanter's wife, she once bought a lottery ticket. Immediately when he heard that she bought a lottery ticket, he took a shtar with two edim, and he wrote what is called a shtar of siluk nechosim, which means that being the alpi aloche, that a husband shares in the bounty of his wife, he wrote the first shtar, he wants no chelik, he says, in her winnings. Because he's afraid he may not be able to withstand in the Soyin Hoysher. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Ashiras, there's a tremendous responsibility that goes along with it. Shmuel gave you a pikadon. What are you going to do with that money? How many almonas in Yisrael are going to be misameach? How much tayrik you can build with that? How many aniyim can you put some food on the table for that? Ashiras is a tremendous nesoyin. The Sfarim writes, as great as a nesoyin, mezonish vissen, nesoyin ho'oini, nesoyin ho'oisher is a greater nesoyin than nesoyin of aniyus. And if you notice, when the Torah talks about nesoyinus, it doesn't talk about nesoyin ho'oini. The Torah talks about v'rom levodecho, v'shachachtos Hashem alekecho, v'yishman Yisrael v'yivot, Kal Yisrael, we're fattened up a little bit. So Salanta was worried about that. He heard his wife bought a lottery ticket. He wrote his shtar siluk. I have no chelik in it. It's all hers. V'moichel de ganze masse. Reb Chaim Brisker once said that if Yisrael Salanta would be hundreds of years back at the time of the Rimor, he would also would have been known as a goyin Yisrael in that kufa. And among the gedolei Yisrael of his time, Reb Chaim Brisker considered them to be the three top gedolei Yisrael. The Sos Salanter being one of them. Sos Salanter once walks down one of the streets in Paris and he's thirsty. And Sos Salanter goes into a restaurant for a glass of water, a simple glass of water. And they give him that glass of water. And at the end of drinking that glass of water, he asks for the check. I guess he thought it would be no check. And the waiter comes and he gives him not only a check, a nice, nice bill. The Sos Salanter says, excuse me, he says, this wasn't itemized. He says, what's this bill for? He says, all I did was drink a glass of water. How much can water already be? And the waiter said to him, you don't understand. When you drink a glass of water in this restaurant, you're not just paying for the water, paying for the chair you're sitting on, paying for the lighting, paying for the air conditioning, you're paying for the decor, this beautiful room with Madutzigistel, you should be able to drink a glass of water. You're paying for the entire thing. Oh, says Rabbi Sos Salanter. Now I understand for the very first time when a Yid makes a bracha, Shahakol Nia Bidvaroi. That's what the bracha means, Rabbi Sai. We're not just thanking Hashem for the glass of water. What about the mouth to drink? What about the stomach to take it in? How many people can't drink? They want to drink and they're sitting there hooked up. They want a little bit of water. Please, please, a little vasa, a little water. They can't. They can't. What about all the rivers and the lakes that Kodesh Baruch Hu, the rain that flows into the pipes to bring that glass of water to the table? You're not thanking Hashem just for the glass of water, Rabbi Yisrael. It's Shahakol Nia Bitzvoroi. It's for everything else that Kodesh Baruch Hu prepared in order for you to be able to have this glass of water. This is the idea that we have to appreciate. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you the hand to pick up the cup to put to your mouth. You ever think of that, Chesed? Yeah, it's just push it, right? You can do it, it's push it. Blinking your eye is so push it. But people with the droopy eyelids have problems. Every little thing that we take for granted and we understand and we look, Bichal de Hashem and everything, depends how we look at things. With what type of vision? Is it a vision of positiveness? Is it a vision of negativity? No matter what we have, you always see the negative, the negative, and the negative. That's what we're focusing on. It is Yidua Rabbi Yisai, it was after the Second World War. After the Second World War and Jewish prisoners, Nebuch survivors that survived. The little bit that survived, the Sheretz HaPleitos still in Europe. The American Army freed many of them from the DP camps. And Rabbi Yisai Silver came. He was a chaplain wearing the uniform in the U.S. Army. And he comes to Nebuch and he sees the emaciated Nebuch, the Yidin, Nebuch, these survivors, these Nebuch, the good people. He tried to blow in a little bit of Simcha into their hearts. And Rav Lezer Silver was a Friday night, he decides to organize the Minyan of Shabbos to get the people together a little bit, to remind them of the way it used to be and to start rebuilding their lives. Most people did come to the davening, they came to the service, but they know there was a particular person standing on the side and he wouldn't come. And Rav Lezer Silver went up to him and said, why didn't you come and join us? Why didn't you come and join us? And the Yid answered and said, after what I saw, Bishu Moifim, he says, I won't daven. And Levi said, what did you see? So he says, in the camp, in the concentration camp, there happened to be one Yid that had a Tehillim. From Yid. He had a Tehillim. Yidin stood in line. They have the opportunity to say a capital Tehillim, and he would not give them the Tehillim. He paid a price. He charged. He said that the ration of the piece of bread that people was attributed to each individual, he said, you have to give me your meager morsel piece of bread, and I'll let you say a capital Tehillim. Said the Yid, if an Orthodox Jew can exploit Yidden with the Tehillim, it's such a matzah, to take away the last piece of bread, the bread of their survival, and to charge them, to pay such an enormous, enormous price, to say a capital Tehillim, I don't want to be part of such a people. What do you answer? Now, Leizer Siv says, why not, instead of focusing at the lowly act of what this Yid did, but look at the fact that 35 Yidden were ready to give up their piece of bread for a capital Tehillim. Isn't that a godless? They were ready to do it. So not only he charged them. Why focus on the bad thing that this one individual did? Focus on the positive. Look at the greatness of the Yid. Yidden were ready to give up the last piece of bread, the staple of life, to be able to say a capital Tehillim. It's how you look at things. Don't look at the negative part. Look at the positive. And if you take a little bit of inventory, you'll recognize that the positive by far outweighs all of the negative in a person's life. How many times, Rabbi, does it happen that we go to a simcha and everything, Baruch Hashem, is nicely, beautifully decorated, and the food is good and everything is gewaldig, and you come home and somebody asks you, how is the chasana? And you say, well, you know what? Something says, the hall had no space for dancing. Everything was gewaldig. Sometimes you go to a drosha, and the baldashin gives you a gewaldig drosha. Sometimes you ask, how was the drosha? You say, well, the air conditioning didn't work. Where's the president? We have to change the president of the shul. Just look. See the negative parts of the situation. On Rosh Hashanah, you have about tefillah, mamish, and mitzvah to blow, to push out those mayor koilas, and it's hot in a shvitz, and you say he really blew it. No, this is the idea. We experience so much positive, and what do we focus on? Where is the hakoras hatoiv? We don't see the hakoras hatoiv. We always seem to focus on the chesroinus. In every mikra, Rabbi said, there's always a chelik toiv. And you have to learn on appreciation. There was a Yid by the name of Reb Yehuda Palai. Reb Yehuda Palai was a Yid who was a menal of a particularly Torah school from a place way out of town. Parents who were not from yet parents, as we say. And the idea was that the children basically used to only stay for the first 2 years. That's all. Parents wouldn't allow them to be in such a school for more than 2 years. This Rabbi Palai complained once. He complains for Moshe Feinstein. He complains, he said, that the expenses of running the school was not worthwhile, because he said that the majority of the students remained in the school only for such a short time. And Rabbi Moshe said to him, let me ask you something. He says, how much did you pay for your lulav and esrog? He says, the amount. And Rabbi Moshe said, what did you do afterward? He said, I made a bracha. Then what? I discarded it. Says Rav Moshe, do you realize that the value, he says, of fulfilling a mitzvah, even though it's only for a short time, is something which is immeasurable? It's the same thing he says when it comes to Torah education. It's worthwhile to spend a large amount of money, even though the hashpoah is for a limited amount of time. He said, all the money in the world would not equal a mitzvah, even if it's for a short time. So that is with what we look at things. 2 years is not a lot of time. And yet, you don't understand the cheshivas of what it means. Again, everything depends on how we look at it, with what type of eyes we look at it, from where we're coming from, what our havana is in order to understand what we have. It's kamat unbelievable that one of the great Gedolei Chassidus many, many years ago would make and tell us the following observation. And before I tell you what it is, let me tell you what he said. He basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said is when a person is waiting in line in a grocery store, he says, instead of focusing on how slowly the line is moving, focus on the fact how lucky you are that you have money in your pocket to pay for the groceries. Ever think about that? That's what you should look at. Hashem, you have a few dollars. You're able to pay for those groceries. Prices are high. And yet, maybe you have the few dollars to purchase that which you need. Who said that? The Yisoid V'Shoyerish Ravoida, who lived in the 1700s. And he says, every time, he says, you have to buy something and you have the money to purchase it, feel pleasure and gratitude to Hashem that you have the necessary money. That's what a person should focus on. Have we ever stopped to think about that for a moment? Because of the negative things that are there. Think about all the positive aspects of what's happening in one's life. And that's the Yisoid HaYisoidus. It's an incredible thing. And you've heard that Mishnah many, many times over again. But you have to live with this Hashkofa. Zal tell us. Everybody knows it. The Mishnah says in Ovis Perik Hey, Asora Nisim Nasu Laboisenu the Beis Hamidosh. There were 10 Nisim that happened. 10 Nisim that happened to our forefathers in the Beis Hamidosh. The Chazal give us a list. One of the things were that a woman, a pregnant woman, never miscarried because of the odor of Bosa Kodesh. This could have an adverse effect b'derech hateva from the Beis Hamikdash. It never happened that a woman should miscarry. Chazal consider this to be a nes. Well, hisriach Bosa Kodesh mi'olam. Bosa Kodesh. Meat is something that needs to be preserved, otherwise it spoils. Not in the Beis Hamikdash. Never would one find a fly in the Beis HaMitzvachayim, in the Beis HaMidosh, when we shecht korbanos. Everybody knows a little bit of blood. We know what it attracts. Just give it a few minutes. Attract hordes of flies. Beis HaMidosh, not one fly. And so on, a list of 10 things. Come to Rav Avramsky, and only Rav Avramsky would be someone who would see this and say, you realize what's the common denominator of all these nisim? All these common nisim are things that did not happen. Vayitriach Bosa Kodesh. The Bosa Kodesh did not spoil. The woman did not miscarry. No fly in the Beis HaMitzvachayim. So he asked the question. He says, why do Chazal tell us about 10 nisim about things that never happened? We always think about nisim when things happen to us. These are nisim when that happened. Life went on in a normal way. Says Rav Avramsky, because our Hashkofer, where we come from, we think that a nes is cholila, chas v'sholem, in an accident, and we are safe. That's a nes. But if no accident happened, you drove around the block and came back safe and sound, there's no nes here. Nothing happened. Asoro nisim nasela voiseinu v'beis amidosh. And the common thing about all of these 10 things, the nisim are that nothing happened. When you cross the street and Baruch Hashem, nothing happens, recognize that Hashem is with you. That's why nothing happens. Who knows how many things could have happened? When you go to work and you come back home. Not everybody makes it. We know that. You did, and you say, no, life is normal. Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. Baruch Hashem, you really say that to understand. Your life is a nes. Kodesh Baruch Hu does nisim, not even you realizing these nisim. These are nisim when nothing happens. You imagine the people in the Beis HaMikdash, the Baruch Hu Kodesh didn't work. Things is going on. Nothing happens. Life takes its way. Routine life, normal things. This is the way it goes. When things don't happen to you, Rabbi Sides, because this is also a nis. Kodesh Baruch Hu is permeating your life, and therefore when you have a good day when nothing happened, realize this is a nis for you. And appreciate the great things that are happening. Say, why the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Because Baruch Hu is doing nisim with you all the time. These are the 10 nisim. These are the nisim that happen. You don't have to be a choyle misukin that Baruch Hashem comes out of a hospital to recognize that your life is a nes. When nothing happens, when you're healthy, it's because of a nes. Who knows otherwise? How do you know? It's the Yad Hashem that's being shomer you. when life is fine, when life is okay, when nothing goes wrong, it's because Hashem is there. He said, the Asar Nisim, Shaloi Nasu, of all the things that did not happen. Rav Tuvia Goldstein, Rosh Yeshiva Emek Halacha, says that he remembers when he learned by Rabbi Chanan and Branovich. He said Rabbi Chanan at that time wasn't feeling well. The great Goyin Rabbi Chanan wasn't feeling well. And then Rabbi Chanan asked for some of the Bachrim to come and they made a private minyan in his house. That particular day, says Rav Tuvia Goldstein, that particular day there was a new Talmud in Yeshiva. It was his first day. And he came to be Mashlim the minyan. So they asked him to daven for the Omid. This is a new Bachur who wasn't used to a Yeshivish davening. And as a result, he davened very, very quickly. No, he ran through the davening. Rav Chanan kept looking up. Where is he running to? He wasn't used to this kind of a davening. After davening, when the Bokher was just about to leave, Rabbi Chanan calls him. And he says, it says in the Pasuk, in Parshas Buchukoisai, Vayikro Chavov, in the Toichacho, it says, the Nasem, and you will be running, the Ein Roidef Eschem, and nobody's chasing you. There's a Toichacho, Rabbi, that is a concept. If you're running, you're running from nothing. Who's life is it? No one is after you. No one is chasing you. That's a toichecha. It's a toichecha when somebody is running and is not being chased. He believes that he has to run. In other words, he's saying, he says, if no one is chasing and you're running, that's part of the toichecha. So much. Under. The idea is we bring this redifus upon ourselves. You have to stop running. You have to stop running. Bjorn Kamenetsky used to say many times, he used to say, Baruch Hashem, he says, Yidden in America, he says, saved Shabbos, but we lost Erev Shabbos, he used to say. There's no Erev Shabbos. You can't talk to anybody on Erev Shabbos. There's no Erev Shabbos. There's no Erev Shabbos. This is the whole idea. The person talking, Lestahin and Aleftahin, Ashleftahin, Ashleftahin, there's no time for anybody. This is the type of a life he has. So about it, it's very difficult to be besimcha. But you have to remember, nobody's righteous in you. You're righteous in yourself. Keine righteous nicht. You are righteous in yourself. As a matter of fact, this is what Rav Dessler writes. Rav Dessler writes, and he says the following lashon. He writes it, Imichta Melio, he writes Chele Gimel. He says, a great percentage, he says, of many people suffering, he says, is based on illusion, says Rav Dessler. And he says, people feel that they have problems and difficulties, when reality says the problems exist only in their minds. And many times when you have a problem, ask yourself, how would I view this problem if somebody else had that problem? Would I consider this to be a valid problem? Then you can look at it objectively. The Nastem in Raidavas. You're running and nobody's really being righteous. The attitude how we take life, how we look at life. It's come out difficult to believe. But the first Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush Arim, who started the dynasty, the Ger dynasty, the great Goyin, the Chiddush Arim, Chiddush Arim with his Rebbetzin, they brought 16 children to the world. Tragically, 14 died b'chayot. 14 children died b'chayot of the Chiddush Arim. Only two reached adulthood, and even one of the last two, one of the two was Rav Avraham Mordechai, the son of the Chiddush Arim, Rav Avraham Mordechai, but he too took ill, and he passed away at the age of 58, Bechaya of his father. Anybody who was in the Beit HaChaim in Warsaw, as you come into that tremendously large Beit HaChaim that has over a quarter of a million kivarim, among the many, many of the greatest admirim and rebbes in Gedolei Yisrael, and also among them Chaim Briska and the Netziv is over there in Warsaw. And as you come in right away, you have the big oil, which is the oil of the Chemda Shloime. It was one of the early Rabbonim in the 1800s in Varsha. And right there, very close, Dalet Amos away, a little bit more, you have the caver of Rabbi Avrom Mordechai, who is the son of the Chiddush Harim. But he managed to have a son before he passed away, the great Sfas Emes. What would the world be without a Sfas Emes? So the Chiddush Harim sits Shiva. He's sitting Shiva for his 14th child. And amidst the crying, there is, they say, a small smile appears to his face. And the Hasidim who are surrounding the Rebbe, they're wondering what could have been that which brought this little bit of a smile. What was it that allowed him to smile, sitting Shiva lo yaleinu for a 14th child? And the incredible answer, one and only the Chiddush Harim was able to provide, and he says, is one day, he says, one day it's possible that a family will suffer the tragedy of losing a child, and maybe two children, he says, but they will always be able to point to our family as a source of inspiration for the tragedies that we suffered and we're still surviving. This is Rabbi Sai, a way one can find something positive even amidst such a sorrow. No one should ever know that. A reason to smile. Sitting Shiva at the loss of a 14th child, but could find something positive. This will at least serve as a nechama for other people who may also go through something a little bit, a mashu of what we're going through, and we'll find a little bit of a nechama to be able to point to our family. I don't know if you know Rabbi Sai, but Reb Chaim Kanevsky and his family is a family who also have 14 children. And incredibly, they managed to live in an apartment only with two bedrooms. Next time you think you don't have enough bedrooms, think of that. Two bedrooms. A group of Askonim just couldn't bear to see Reb Chaim living with his family, 14 children in two bedrooms. Decided to raise funds in order to buy a much larger apartment for Reb Chaim and his family to accommodate this family, this mishpacha, Reb Chaim Kanevsky. However, he knew there's one problem. Reb Chaim Kanevsky does not take any money from anybody, and he would refuse the offer. So they figure, we have an etzer. We'll go to his mother. We'll have to listen to his mother. Who is his mother? The wife of the stipler, Ishkaposha Tzach. They go to the mother. And here we have the money for your son Chaim and for your grandchildren. Just imagine the kind of a life that they would be able to live a little bit more in comfort. And lo and behold, she refused the money. She says, there are many mishpachas in Bnei Brak who live the same way as my son Chaim. The moment that Chaim moves into a bigger apartment, he says, all of a sudden their own apartments will feel crowded for themselves. It's not fair for them. Kolman, Reb Chaim lives this way, it's okay for us also. Reb Chaim should move into a larger apartment, he says. How are the other people going to feel? This is Rabbi Yisrael, how we look into life. It's crammed, it's crowded. It's not a negative. You find the positive side in every situation. Bichlal in Sifrei Chasidus, point number two. It's so posh, it's so obvious, but you don't think of appreciating it. Rabbi Yisai, there is an additional tremendous sibe for a person to be besimcha, and that is merely for the fact that you were born a yid. Yeah. All the money in the world can't pay for that. The fact that you were born a yid. The fact that we make a bracha every day, Baruch Shelo Yosani Goy. And Rabbi Ber of Kamenitz used to say, when I make the bracha every morning, Shelo Yosani Goy, you know what I do to prepare myself before I make that bracha? I start to imagine in my mind the most respectable Goy I know. Maybe if it's the greatest scientist, maybe if it's a great professor, maybe a melech of a medina, maybe a president of the country. And I think of the most chashuv, a highly respectable goy I can imagine, and I say, Baruch Shleisani Goy, I'm not a Goy even like him. That's why I make Baruch Shleisani Goy. In other words, to look out of your window, Rabbi Isaiah, to see a Goy wheeling a push cart and to say Shleisani Goy, even his fellow Goys don't want to be a Goy like him. Because it's after, because the God of Vinzana is a Goy. Baruch Shleisani Goy, meaning is think about the most respectable Goy you can imagine and say the Baruch of Baruch Shleisani Goy. The B'chaim used to say, the sons of Ruv, said when a Yid would know how fortunate he is, the fact that he's a Yid, he would dissolve from Simcha, the Lash of the Divrei Chaim. Maybe you're not makir, what kind of a treasure that is. Maybe you're not makir. Think about it. It's a Yid. You're born a Yid. Most people in the world are not. We're the Matmi Kolamim. We're the Matmi Kolamim. Most people are not. Most people in the world don't have that chus. You have it. The idea that you were born a Yid. The Baal of Belza used to say, when a Yid gets up in the morning, he says, and he makes the bracha shloyasani goy, and if you really have kavanah when you say that bracha, it's not shayach, you should be be'atvus, because the simcha that you are a Yid, if you really know what that means, it makes you forget everything else, he says. It should outdo anything else. The Moshe Leib Sasseva used to say many times, he used to say, when he went by the Rebbe Meilach of Lizhensk, and the Rebbe Meilach was mechaberim shesei dvar teire, the Moshe Leib Sasseva says, he says, you know, it says by Gulas Mitzrayim, Asher Posach Halbote Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he skipped over the Jewish homes. Says, I have a new pshat, said the Moshe Leib. Moshe Leib Sasseva was known as the tremendous Oyev Yisrael. He gave his life for Yidden. All of his life, he always wandered from place to place, from city to city, to see where he can do a taiva for a Yid. The epitome of Ahavas Yisrael, the Moshe Leib Sasseva. Which Reb Sasseva says, you know what Asher Posach Halbote Bnei Yisrael means? He says, imagine. Kadosh Baruch Hu is making the trip through Mitzrayim, right? It's Makas Bechairis, right? So he's making his way. So the Mitzrayim, it's full of Goyim. Here and there, there's a house of a Yid, right? Here and there, Tifintach HaYid. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu admits Tumas Mitzrayim. When he finds the house of a Yid, what does Hashem do? Asher Posach HaBote Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tants, Du Voint HaYid, Du Voint HaYid, Asher Posach. Kadosh Baruch Hu dances. HaYid Voint Du. Mitzrayim, imagine, Ayid in Mitzrayim. Found Ayid. Asher Posach HaBote Bnei Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu was dancing, he said. And he's springing. The Simcha. The Simcha of Ayid. So Abayisai. So Bekitzer. So we have to remember the idea, the secret and success leading to Simcha is number one, shiftless. There's no entitlement. Fabus Kimpner. A little bit of achnoa. For yiso ach someach, say the Sefer Chasi. What's ach? Ach is only lemayit. Ach is a mute. Be memayit yourself, you're going to have simcha. Ule simcha mo zu oise. You want to be zoich at the simcha? The secret is mo. That is the secret of simcha. The second idea is a person should always look at the positive of each and every situation. And I have to tell you, and I want to mention, that the, which is the Tzepel of the Hafle, but Yerucham, as a matter of fact, he brings it. Rav Yerucham brings it, and Yerucham says, the Mir Mashgiach writes, that there was a tremendous Gibor. There was the world's strong man, and he writes his name, Rav Yerucham writes it, in Das Chochem HaMusar. His name was Breitbart. And this Breitbart, who is known as the strongest man, took ill to a point that he was not able to pick up a pen with his fingers to be able to write, he says, even one number. Then Yeberuchim, he says, look at this, he says. This person not too long ago had hands that he was able to bend metal. And look what happened to this man, that he had such a tremendous nefila that he was not able to pick up a pen. Says Yeberuchim, if you can move your hand and pick up a pen, pick up your hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be grateful. Be happy. What are you complaining about? You can move your arms. You can move your limbs. And Yerucham goes on to say, he says, a Yid once asked Rabbi Yerucham, he says, imagine asking this to the Mir Mashgiach. He asked him a question. He says to him, Rabbi, how many times do you toss and turn at night? He said, I never counted. I'm sleepy. What do you want to know? So he says, you see, you realize, he says, so and so, you know, whom we all know, he's lying in bed for days. He has bed sores. He's not able to move. Unless by the chesed and by the grace of two people who have some rachmanis and they come and they move him from one side of the bed, then a couple hours later to move him to the other side of the bed. He can't move. He can't turn from one side to the other. Everyone says, oh, I'm able to toss and turn at night in bed. Be grateful you can toss and turn at night in bed. If you have one night, you don't have a full night's sleep, you say, oh, but I didn't have a full night, stop complaining. But you're able to move around. That's a chesed Hashem. Not everybody has that chus. They're able to move around in bed. And finally, Rabbi Yisai, what we have to understand is life is hashgocha protis. When a person is connected with emunah and bitochen b'Hashem, it's not shayach. You should not be besimcha. The original Rebbe of Yisrael Chirishner once said, when the pasuk says, "Oiz v'chedva b'mkaymoi," by Kodesh Baruch Hu in His dwelling place is Oiz v'chedva. It is makim simcha. There's no atzmus. There's no sadness in Shemayim. When a person is connected to the Borei Olam, when a person is muna b'tayach b'Hashem, then Oiz v'chedva b'mkaymoi. A person who is mekusha to the mekaymoi shel Olam. A person who's connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you live with the quell, with the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is around you and is with you, La'ira ro kiyato imodi, says David HaMelech. When a person understands that he is mushgach b'Hashem, Hashem has His eyes on you. It's not shayach not to be b'simcha. Oy v'chedva b'mkoymoy. Chayvus HaVovitz points it out in Shah B'tochen. The famous mashgiach of Chatzko. Reb Chatzkel Emishtein, Rabbi Yisrael. Reb Chatzkel Emishtein, the Mashgiach Aponovich. Before he was Tzair Stroll, before he came to Yisrael as Mashgiach Aponovich, he was Mashgiach Emir Yeshiva here, in America. It is said that many years later, they saw that he was extremely happy. Mamish, Bizbureke, running from one mokim to the other, tremendous simcha across his face. The Rabbi says, what particular thing happened today that you are so besimcha? Says of Chatzkel the Mashgiach Aponovich, he says, I want you to understand something. Says, I used to be Mashgiach, he says, in Mir. Mashgiach in Mir, he says, you have to realize they were always late in paying the meager salary. A month went by, no check. Another month went by. So my parnosa came through Midas HaBitochen. That I knew I have to look out Rabbeinu Shel Olam. My parnosa comes from you, somehow I'm going to make it. Because I'm a b'teach b'Hashem. Then, however, he said, since I came up to Eretz Yisrael, I become a mashgiach. Where? Ponovich. Ponovich, Rabbi Yisai, was built by the most illustrious, most successful builder of Torah, the Ponovich Rav. Checks came like clockwork, month after month. He says, I found no need, he says, to exercise my midat b'tochen. He says, my checks are there in the mail. He says, every chodesh. Guess what? The last 2 months, he says, my check stopped coming. I have to go back to Midas HaBitochen. What a simcha, he says. What a simcha. To be able to fall back on Midas HaBitochen. Didn't always have that opportunity. Now, Baruch Hashem, I'm able to have that opportunity. This is the Hashgacha Protis. To know we are in the hands of Hashem. You feel connected to Hashem. You know that your love is in Hashem. Hashem is with you. And I conclude. There was a Yid. The tragic situation. There was a Yid, for the last 50 years, is walking around with a tremendous burden on his mind. And as much as you try to help him, and Gedolei Yisrael were trying to give him chizuk, and he can't calm himself down, because he has a tremendous burden on his mind. And the Yid pointed out, and he said, the burden on his mind, he says, is for the following reason. He says, 50 years ago, or more, I was a young boy, and I was one of the children in the concentration camps. The minog was that not all of the young boys survived, as one knows. About 1 million children or so, they say, died, didn't make it. I remember a particular time, which I found out later in retrospect, particular time, they made selections. And the selection that they made was to check out each of the young boys to see which are able, capable, they will survive. However, those that are ill, who took sickly, and so on, will be sent the next morning to the gas chambers. The way that they did it, this is the way they did it, the satanic, you know, plan and the strategy of these achzorim, yimach shemom, the way it was, he says, that at night when the little boys and the children were asleep, the officer, he said, would come in with a doctor and go from bed to bed and to check who's healthy, lives, who's not healthy, taken away, and so on and so forth. He went from bed to bed, and they marked positive, negative, positive, for life, the other way, for life, not for life, and so on. But then they said to themselves, how are we going to remember the next morning? How are we going to remember the next morning who's supposed to live or not? Made a post to Cheshmi. Every young boy there was sleeping with a yarmulke. So they made a Cheshmi, look at their sleep. Those that are not supposed to make it, they took off their yarmulke. In other words, they said, next morning, those that get up with yarmulkes, that's the simon they have to live. And those that get up and they can't find their yarmulke, that's how they're going to know. These boys never were without the yarmulke. Anybody without a yarmulke, he sent to the gas chamber. Says this Yid, he didn't know about anything. He's a young boy. This he found out later. He said, I wake up in the middle of the night. He says, and I realize, did what I had to do, and I have to say Asher Yotza. And I realize I don't have my yarmulke. I look to my right, I look to my left, I can't find my yarmulke. My chaver next to me, of course, was wearing a yarmulke. I said to myself, would it be so bad if I just borrow his yarmulke? Just a few minutes to say a brocha? And then give it back to him. The kachosi said, this is what I did. I took the yarmulke, put it on my head, I said Asher Yotza, and I fell asleep. You know what happened the next morning? I survived, I had the yarmulke. He didn't. I was Geirin. That a life of another human being, another Yid, was taken because of me. This is on his mind that he was Geirin Misosei Shor Chaveroi. On the one hand, the tremendous Hashgacha Pratis, look what happened. He's not supposed to make it. Hashem decided that he borrowed the yarmulke from his neighbor, and Hashem decided, you live, the other one is not going to. The only thing that we can say to that person is from this week's Parashim Parashas Nosoi. A similar thing, but not quite similar. The husband who suspected his wife of being unfaithful. And at the end of the day, it turns out that she drinks the mayim, which proves that she's guilty, and she dies. So the husband feels very guilty that he is the cause of the miss of his wife. Says the Baal HaTurim, V'nuka ha'ish me'ovoin. The pasuk here is giving the chama to the husband. You did what the Torah told you to do. And the chips fall where they fall. This has nothing to do with you. This Yid had to make a brocha. So he borrowed a yarmulke. No, it's the yabla. So you borrow a yarmulke for a minute. The kid's head was on a pillow. You took it. Your kavana was to give it back. Whatever happened later, this was an einus. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, Rabbi Yisai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach doyoinim betachtoinim. We recognize that Hashgacha Pratis, that each and every moment of the day we are Biyad Hashem. When a day goes by and nothing happens, these are part of the Asorah Nisim that happened not in the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Yisrael, in our life. A Yid can write his own book and say Asorah Nisim and more that happened B'Beisenu. When you get up and you're able to eat a meal and it goes down into the right place, you have a schus to make a brocha achroino. When you say roifech obosor, yes, umafli lasois, and you recognize what a tremendous brocha that is. I remember, I think it was over 30 years ago, but I had to say that a levaya by someone that was nipta very young in this community. Very young, was nipta, a young man. And one of the things I remember when being levaka chaylehim, taking out a siddur and saying the brocha of Asher Yotza with such kavana, and it occurred to me, he appreciates that brocha because he knows what he's going through. When we know all of the chasadim of Biruchim said, you can pick up your pen to write. Yes, even to write a bill if you have to, but you can write. That's a reason to be besimcha, Rabbi Yisai. Shibachu should help us. It should be able to be mischazik in the koyach of emunah and bitochim. Should recognize the tremendous simcha of being a Yid, the tremendous bracha and simcha that we were born, we should be zeiche to the kiyum of the pasuk sasayin v'simcha yasigu yitzmachu ha'shamayim v'sogel ha'aretz v'simcha ha'soylam al-roishon v'biyas goyel tzedek v'mheir v'meinu amen and a good evening.